Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, "Hey, man!" Here's the deal, Falcon fans. Our squad is at OTAs. There's some guys that are there. There's some guys that are not. There is a guy that we want to see excel, and his name is Michael Penix Jr. We're going to let you hear what he had to say coming up about how long it's going to take for him to mesh with his teammates and specifically throwing the ball to the guys that will be the guys he will connect with, and also who is the face of this Falcon defense. That is on the way. But, Mike, we got to talk about Roddy White and Julio Jones, who have smoke for Kyle Shanahan. For those who were not here, those maybe who are new to the city, Kyle Shanahan was our offensive coordinator when we went to the Super Bowl in 2016. He did an incredible job. We led the league in scoring. Matt Ryan was the MVP. We know how the Super Bowl played out. But the fact of the matter is this offense was humming. Now, Mike, part of the discussion, and this again is from a podcast, and we want to give our man Harry Douglas, who was a part of our radio station here at 92.9 The Game before making his way to ESPN. Harry is a friend of the show, and we love him. But they have a new podcast. It's called the Legacy Locker Room Podcast. And so he's talking with his former teammates, Harry, Julio, and Roddy. One of the things Julio says, Mike, is that he was disappointed in the Super Bowl with the amount of targets he got. Mm. Now, I've always thought that if we score, if we kick a field goal after he makes that incredible catch and we win the game, he just made the best catch in the history of this Falcons organization.
Right.
It didn't play out that way, but I want you to hear Julio, and then we'll let you hear Roddy White, who says Shanahan had it out for him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Here's Julio Jones on the Super Bowl.
Man, about the Super Bowl. I have yet to go back and watch it.
Oh, the game?
Yeah, I haven't went back to watch the game. And two, like, for me, just like in that game, it was just like I had four opportunities in that game. In that whole game too, though, like all this, what I've done and, you know, as the team, and we got to the Super Bowl, it's just like I had four opportunities.
Bro, that one catch you had on the sideline?
I had four opportunities, though, the whole game. That's insane.
That is
four
ridiculous.
Targets in the Super Bowl.
No, that's ridiculous.
But, again, I did what was asked of me.
Got to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. I mean, that's rule number one of any sport. Julio, four receptions for 87. Now, even though he didn't get in the end zone and he only got four catches, had he made that, that catch was unbelievable. He made that amazing toe tapper. We hit the knees three times. We kick a field goal. And then maybe we hang on to win a two-possession game the way the Patriots are rolling. I have to remind you guys of that. He's in his feels. Can't blame him. He was targeted four times, four catches. Matt completed 17 passes. Matt was 17 to 23 for 284 and two touchdowns. I thought that we lost our way when Coleman went out of the game. Remember when Freeman had to come in, missed the blitz? Mm-hmm. That was that same sequence. After we get the first down, we had a false start from Jake Matthews, and all of a sudden we're going in reverse. But that should have been the crowning jewel, that amazing catch to secure our Super Bowl win.
Here's my issue. Julio Jones had no problems whatsoever saying, "I want more." He did it multiple times. And in fact, I've said this. And guys, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going in our Ring of Honor. He's one of the best Falcons ever. This does not take away from that. But in this moment where you talk about being at the Super Bowl, this is your shot. We didn't know if we were ever getting back. And yet you didn't have the wherewithal to say, "Please target me. We're going into the biggest game of our lives. Kyle, give me the rock. I need targets." But yet he had the wherewithal, Mike, to always ask for more when it came for money, mm-hmm. when it came for all the other things outside. This is my problem. So now he owns this. We hadn't heard from Julio because Julio don't talk a whole lot. We hadn't heard from him, and he says, man, four targets in that entire game. Bro, I hear you. But these are the moments where megastars like yourself in this league go, I need the ball. If we're going to lose tonight, throw the damn ball to me 12 times, Kyle. And that's my issue with this. He's not lying. The facts are the facts.
Right.
But he didn't do that. And so now hindsight is 20/20. You go, I hadn't watched the game, but, man, I just remember I had four targets, had a heck of a game. Julio wasn't the reason why we lost this game. But if you wanted it more, this was the part where we said, you got to speak up. Julio just never – he was an enigma. He never did these kinds of things, and so everybody thought it was cool until he started asking for more money every time somebody got paid, and then it destroyed the cap.
Right. What he just said, that's our beef back in the day. But this is one where you say, okay, in the flow of the game, is Matt not seeing him? Is the second half, things started to fall apart with Alex Mack. And so the center, unfortunately, had a bad knee, basically blew his knee out in the NFC Championship game. We didn't know that at the time. Shot it up, and then unfortunately started to give out. And so the actual amounts of chances went down because we were three and out the entire second half. and basically, meanwhile, if you look at compare and contrast, Julian Edelman with 5 receptions, Danny Amendola with 8 receptions. You know, it's always some of their parts. James White with 14 receptions.
James White.
You know, there's always – that's what the – isn't that the Patriots? Wow. There's the Patriots in a nutshell. But if you're looking for the rest of the spread on our receiving core, Taylor Gabriel, the joystick,
yeah.
Turbo.
Yeah.
He was at 3 receptions. Free had 2. Mohamed Sanu had 2. Only 17 receptions. Only 17 completions for Matt in this game. But as we said, basically the second half, it all went out the window. And we were doing things the right way because as this lead is starting to slide, you're not going to come out on first down and start throwing it. You know, there was parts of it where Shanahan, where you're doing it the right way.
You were.
You should just run the football. Unfortunately, the Patriots started ganging up on us, and Matt couldn't. I'm not. You know, it takes a village to blow a 25-point lead. But do you blame some of this, the hubris
on
Shanahan?
Yes, or I do.
I think there's some of there. Now, I would say it's more specific when Roddy's got a beef about Shanahan than Julio complaining about receptions in the Super Bowl.
I totally agree.
Because I thought Shanahan had a mean on for Roddy.
No, there was no if. He did, which was free Roddy, which is another campaign we started on this show.
Hashtag free Roddy.
And it was real. He wouldn't throw him the rock. And so then he comes out in a game and throws it to him 3 straight times. And years later, like 3 years later, we find out from some of the coaches that were on that staff that it was purposely done. That Shanahan's on the headset. We're going to throw it to him again. Purposely. Either way, this is the Legacy Locker Room Podcast. Roddy White talking about Shanahan. Listen to this.
When we first sat down with Kyle Shanahan, right, it was like, he was like, all right, this is how I envision the offense, blah, blah, blah. We would literally go through practice scripts, and I would get the ball at practice, right? And then when we go in the games, like, he would sub me out. Like, he would be in the headphones.
You can hear Matt. You know, we've seen right now. We can hear him.
Yeah, we can hear him.
Oh, sweet. And right. Doing it on purpose.
Yeah, so I can hear him say, get Roddy out.
Yeah, that one made no sense to me because Roddy talked about, now, unlike Julio, now the squeaky wheel gets the grease. In this case, there was a game where we actually had T-shirts that said, hashtag free Roddy, free Roddy. And that's when they came out with, there's actually 2 scripted plays to Roddy. Then the final was a check down to Roddy. So it turned out to 3 plays, almost like Shanahan was blanking with you. I mean, starts with an F, ends with a G.
No, he was.
So it's just, if you look at, you know, Shanahan and some degree of, call it hubris, or, you know, he's in his feels, I don't know. A lot of things went wrong in that second half. I don't beef with Julio, you know, being upset now in retrospect. I would love to have heard this after the game.
Me too. This is my point.
That's why, and when we talk about Julio, look, his game speaks for itself. This is why when we compare the true elites and the greats who showed up for minicamp, who put all the work in, all the sweat equity that Julio never wanted to do, and then you wonder why sometimes he and Matt can't get together in the red zone. You know, it's a two-way street. That was my only beef about Julio. Just to echo what Carl said, because some guy's going on the text line, oh, here you go, Dukes and Bell, bashing Julio. I'm not a fanboy. I don't root for the name on the back of the jersey. I root for the helmet. You know, I have players I like more than others. I think we bond with guys. I never knew anything about Julio. Never got a chance to interview him. Carl, he spoke for 2 minutes with us. You know, he was an enigma. And that's his personal choice. I just never understood how guys like, oh, man, that's my guy. Man, how do you know? And then when you ask for a raise 2 years after you become the highest paid wide receiver in the league, that was as big a part of our salary cap crap hell as everything else that nobody ever wants to, you know, get to. But getting back to the game, it's just another, it's sort of the cherry on top of all the things that just went wrong in that second half. Julio needed the ball more in his hands.
Julio and Dan Quinn had a great relationship. How do I know? Quinn told me so. And Julio could have gone to Dan Quinn and said, DQ, I need the ball. Stop with this nonsense. Like, who was he going to tell? Shanahan was up in the booth.
Right.
DQ, I'm tapping my pen. I need the ball. Like, that to me in those moments are inexcusable. It's why I'm crushing Ant-Man right now. Ant-Man, dude, you're one of the most elite players in the league. Go make it happen. Let's stop talking about I didn't get the shots I needed and they're handsy and, oh, well, they didn't allow me to do this. Did you guys ever hear any of the all-time greats say they haven't allowed me to do this?
Mm.
You've never heard Shaq, Kobe, Duncan. Pick them.
I mean, could you see Kobe coming out going, yeah, I thought I played within the Lakers system.
No way.
And, you know,
no way.
I didn't really need more than 13 shots.
No, as a matter of fact, Kobe would go clear it out.
And that's why I said, you know, hey, oh, by the way, you know, if you are going to, you know, go down and lose a game, let me lose a game with the best player on my team taking all the shots or the majority of the lion's share of those shots. So that's one that just drove me crazy. But we'll talk more about Ant-Man coming up later as they're on the verge of elimination. Just real quick with Julio.
Yeah.
I would say just to counter, if Julio goes to Quinn, Quinn didn't have the presence of mind to get on the headset in that final 5 minutes. Shanahan operated with total autonomy.
He did, but he's hearing everything, and Dan Quinn owned it afterwards, Mike. We know this. He said, look, I'm hearing all the play calls. At any point, Dan Quinn could have got on and said, run the ball.
Right.
He didn't. That's his mistake. He learned from it. It cost us. It cost our city. But, you know, and Jason Ellis, by the way, says, fellas, why y'all bringing up old stuff? Ask Harry Douglas that question.
He
got his boys together.
Yeah.
He got his boys together, and they're doing this Legacy Locker Room podcast. One more thing from Roddy White. We're going to let you hear as we continue from our quarterback, Michael Penix. And who's the face of our defense? Raheem Morris was asked that question. That is on the way. We're on until 6:30 tonight. Atlanta United coming your way as they take on Orlando. Pre-games at 6:30, kicks at 7:30. Here's Roddy Mike on what Shanahan told him about being a fourth option.
You got to be real with me, man. Because I'm about to lose my shit. He was like, I just don't see you as, like, the top four option on the team.
Oh, Lord.
I said, what? He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, if the game was on the line, I would throw the ball to who? I would throw the ball to Jacob Tammy. I would throw the ball to Leonard Hankinson.
He ain't say that to your face.
This is what he told me. And then he said, and then I'll run a play for free to throw the ball to free. And then you.
He told you that?
He told me that.
That's a problem. At that time, that's a problem.
You know, Shanahan was funny. We all kind of like rolled our eyes when Quinn hired Shanahan as his OC. Because, you know, the job, the resume from Washington and Cleveland was okay, but there's nothing that would distinguish himself above other offensive coordinator candidates. And then, you know, we saw the brilliance in 16. And then I apologized to Shanahan for killing him in 15. And then you hear stuff like this and you're like, man, this guy Shanahan, you know what? It's just, and right now there's probably guys in their cars going, you know, why are you making me relive this? It's like, let's have a prostate exam while we're on the radio. But because Harry had this on and the guy's on, and again, you never hear, it's Carl's point, nothing against, like, that's Julio's personal choice. He didn't do a lot of interviews or media. Just we never got a chance to hear from one of our star players. And it's kind of fascinating to hear all this stuff. But I'm with Carl. I wish he had said that to Dan. Don't know if Dan would have actually said anything to Shanahan at halftime.
I don't either. Either way, we know how it played out. Sorry, Atlanta, we had to revisit that. But the fellas, look, this is part of their careers.
Right.
They were great players here as Falcons.
And the only thing missing from Julio's Hall of Fame resume is something like Matt.
Is the Super Bowl. This is part of their careers. And there's nothing wrong with guys expressing what happened while their careers were here and us hearing from them.
Now that's the thing. Guys are interested in the text line. They can't believe Julio only had four catches and four targets in Super Bowl 51.
It felt bigger.
Right.
It did. It did feel like he was killing them. But, all right, man, we got more to get to.
I'd love to hear Matt's side of that because Ooh. Can Matt tell you they basically the Patriots are selling out and I couldn't get the ball to Julio? I don't know. I mean, then it's, well, why don't you do, then take a page out of Cutter, wide receiver screens, get the ball to Julio in space, do something to get your playmaker involved.
Yeah, no doubt.
And just, I know it's easy in hindsight to go through this, but just thinking out loud.
All right, man, we got more to dive into. We go around the yard with Grant McCauley. Braves postponed tonight, but we'll talk about what happened last night. And what's the deal with this offense, man? Why is it inconsistent? It's Dukes and Bell.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley. Grant, no game tonight. They will play tomorrow, I guess, as scheduled. Is that correct?
Yeah, split doubleheader tomorrow is the plan. Same pitching matchups. It sounds like the Phillies might flip-flop their guys and pitch Wheeler in the second game, Christopher Sanchez in the first, but the Braves are going to go with A.J. Smith-Shawver and Chris Sale as they try to salvage a series in Philly that I don't need to tell you guys is rather important.
So what do we do on the off day? It's going to be raining. Do they go run the museum steps, get their inner Rocky challenge channeled? Less, I mean, it's just frustrating, Grant. We've talked so much about the unclutch and just how things just don't seem to be working when there's, you know, runners on base or just some clutch at bats for the heart of the lineup. And I know we've seemingly asked you this a million times. You've seen every version of this Braves club. One of the things that Carl and I were talking about today, and we'll get your 2 cents worth, you know, because people always want to look at what we did in 23 and apply that, oh, they'll come out of it. Or is maybe 23 is just such an outlier that's not even what they are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to look at 23 and call it an outlier because, I mean, how many years can you expect a club to come in and make A, baseball history, or B, franchise history with its overall productivity? I mean, it was a special season. And ultimately, you get to the postseason, and the one thing you didn't think would happen to this club is exactly what happened. And they didn't hit with runners on base, and they weren't able to beat the Phillies. And we all know that story, so I'll just leave it right there. But as far as the on-base struggles of the Braves' biggest hitters, it is a huge problem. It is obviously the Achilles heel of this club because you look at what they've done, and we talked about this, I believe, yesterday. The one-run games are killing this club. They're 9-13 in those. They played the most of them in Major League Baseball. The close games overall, not just the one-run variety, you feel like the Braves are – I don't know, 15, maybe 20 runs combined spread out over the whole season of maybe being 4, 5, 6, 7 games over 500. It doesn't work that way, but I'm telling you, they're pitching well enough to have won that many more games than they've lost. And I think that is ultimately what is so frustrating to watch so many games play out the same way where you just feel like that one hit or that one inning where you break through, not even for a huge amount of runs, but maybe just one or two here or there, could very well have you feeling a lot different about the Braves season.
So how did you feel about Strider last night? Look, he's not had a quality start. I know Snit, I think it was Snit, who said, it may have been one of his teammates as well, you know, he's building. It's better. You know, you see him getting where he needs to be. Tell me where you are with Strider, and do you think he's going to return at some point this season to that velocity, what we saw? Is he going to be a 100-mile-per-hour guy again this season, or are we going to have to wait and let this play out until maybe next year?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd really have any expectation of him being the 100-mile-an-hour guy again, and that's not to say that he's not going to pick up some velocity as he continues to build innings. I do think that that is going to be part of that process, but I think we saw what we needed to in some areas from Spencer Strider in yesterday's start that just weren't there in that first one in Washington. And that could be a product of just being rusty and not having thrown in a month because he was dealing with a hamstring issue. But I liked what I saw when he needed to make some big pitches to kind of limit some damage and to really hit some spots. And then there were other times where I just kind of wondered, you know, where is the command with a couple of these pitches? The slider, I think I really feel like the whole start was kind of a mixed bag. I mean, obviously you can't argue with just allowing one run, but you'd like to see 5-plus innings out of Spencer Strider each and every time. And I know he was frustrated when he issued those walks and wasn't able to get out of the fifth inning. And the Braves aren't going to be pushing that pitch count just to see him complete the fifth inning. I mean, he's going to be kind of married to that 90, 95, 100, 105. It's that building process. It's just where he is right now. But I would say, as far as optimism is concerned, this was a step in the right direction. It's just going to be part of the process for him to get back to the level in which we saw him. But a lot of swing and miss had me encouraged about what he did yesterday as opposed to what we saw in Washington.
I know that I asked you a lot about Rick Kranitz and what the pitching coach does. I mean, is that the only source for help? I mean, is there anybody else in the organization at the minor league level? I know maybe a loaded question, but, you know, just some extra voices to get in there and help him?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of a collaborative process. I mean, Rick Kranitz is obviously at the head of that, but you look at your, you know, assistant pitching coach, and you look at your bullpen coach, and you look at your catchers, obviously, as you make a game plan day to day. But individual adjustments oftentimes are up to the individual. And then obviously some of these guys will talk one to another and kind of pick up mindsets or other sequences and things from other pitchers on the staff. That's why I've always felt like it's so valuable to have those veteran guys, Chris Sale certainly being an example, but Charlie Morton being here for all those years. I mean, it doesn't make those guys a de facto pitching coach, but some of those voices I think can be helpful. But you can also run into, as we know, the too many cooks approach to doing something, and that oftentimes is not helpful. So it kind of runs through Rick Kranitz, but there can be a collaborative process, and you never know what conversation you have might be the offshoot that leads to a necessary change and something that maybe unlocks a little bit of potential that you just weren't able to get out of yourself.
Grant McCauley, our guest, guys. No Braves game today, as Grant said. Split day-night doubleheader, and they'll finish this thing up in Philly. We need to win these next two games. What about listen, we got 5 hits last night. We left 10 on base. And I know that's kind of been, you know, something that has haunted this team as well. And, you know, forget about the clutch situations Mike's talking about, which he's absolutely right. It's also just the idea of anybody coming through. Tell me what you think about the core. When we talk about, you know, the guys that got hits last night, if I would have told you Acuna and Riley and Ozuna and Albies and Michael Moynihan all got hits, you would have said, oh, well, how many runs did we score? We didn't score any.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been curious, but I've also watched this team, so I have seen the two outs and, you know, runners in scoring position and not getting those hits, or getting a couple of guys on with one out or no outs and still not being able to score in those frames. I mean, it has been an exercise in frustration and futility for this team to come up with those hits. And I've looked at these stats a lot of different ways, and I'm sure I could probably waste the rest of your show with some of them that won't make anybody feel any better about it. But when you look at overall lineup futility in terms of runners in scoring position, the Braves lineup is down there with the likes of the Pirates and the Rockies. And I don't know about you, but I think the expectations of the Braves, the Pirates, and the Rockies coming into the year were wildly different, pretty far from one another. But ultimately, pitching has kind of kept this club on at least a path to keep its head at or above water. But you're going to have these core guys come through in big moments. I know Matt Olson caught a lot of flack last night for a really bad at-bat with a chance to maybe get the Braves on the board, chasing some pitches, and just not able to put it together. But he's not alone. There's a lot of different guys that you can put it on, and unfortunately, it seems like on a nightly basis, there's always that inning or two you look back on and think, wow, that was a golden opportunity to at least plate a run or two, and you just weren't able to get that done. Forget the 3-run homer or the 5-run inning. It's just a couple of runs, a lot of nights, that is just keeping this club from being able to at least make the best of its situations and opportunities.
Yeah, was it Ruben Amaro was like starting to rattle people's cages that somehow this was intentional last night when Strider lost control of the fastball, which you just...
He's an idiot, if that's the case.
Yeah, that's what I said. I thought this guy knew baseball, because people in Philly, being those, you know, knuckleheads that they are, want to see some payback. So all we need is like Ronald getting plunked, you know, coming off an injury. But I will say this. I would love to see something that gives this team a spark and a good old-fashioned, I don't know, Kurt Bevacqua stop beating or something like the old days when the Braves and Padres went and did it. I would love to see Bryce Harper get something, which I still think he's owed since 2023. All the point I'm getting to, Grant, sometimes a little spark can maybe help this team get going.
Yeah, I mean, I think a spark can, but I also would look at it and tell you that I just don't know that there's a connection between that and all of a sudden learning how to hit with runners in scoring position. I mean, should you be motivated? Should you have that fire? Well, yeah, and I think that there's a certain amount of that. And I know that the Braves kind of drive people nuts because they don't have a lot of those emotional reactions or moments. But, I mean, look at baseball in 2025. I really don't think the sport is rife with guys who are ready to fire off at any given time. And a lot of it is some talk from past generations and whatnot of, well, back in my day, we used to handle it such and such way. And maybe it did. Right. I don't know. But baseball is a little bit different. And you don't want to be uncorking 95, 96 mile an hour fastballs at people's wrists and hands, and things can go wrong. So I don't think anybody needs to be worried about taking revenge for unintentional pitches, and there was absolutely no point whatsoever for Spencer Strider to drill Bryce Harper. I was surprised he wasn't wearing the guard on an elbow that's been surgically reconstructed,
right.
But it's just one of those little circumstances that happens. Fortunately, he's okay. You never pull for the injury for anybody, but you know, I to go back to your point, I don't know that, you know, that will do anything other than maybe appease a certain cross section of folks that just want to see some life from the club. But as I've said many, many times, it's not a movie. You need consistency here. You need that consistent motivation, and you need to ultimately figure out how to make the adjustments that will win you baseball games. The rest of it, to me, is just all eyewash.
All right. We'll see what happens, man. Tonight, take a break. Take a deep breath, and hopefully some guys got some extra BP in, and we'll see what happens as this thing plays out tomorrow. But it's going to be a long day and a fun day, hopefully, for the Braves. Grant, thanks so much again.
Yeah, we'll find out. Thanks, guys.
All right. Grant McCauley, Around the Yard. And again, we're not insinuating, or we are not instigating this. This was what came out of Philly today from various folks that I talked to, and people were talking about this on radio up there. And okay. Great.
Right.
But that's not something that we're talking about we need to do. But if something does happen, then yes. We need to respond.
If there were repercussions.
Yeah.
And again, for those who've missed my rants on this over the years, and Carl always getting used to hear me talk about it, I just felt like they should have just come at Bryce Harper after he was trying to stare down RC. I just thought, you know what? Let's set a tone. Because I just thought we've looked totally defanged since we lost that best-of-five series in 23.
All right, man. Coming up, Strong Arm Story of the Day, which includes Michael Penix talking about how long is it going to take for him to get that timing down. OTA's going on with the Falcons. Also, we will get to Yeah Man, No Man. We had to push it today because we had a great guest in Mike Griffith from Dog Nation talking about all the things that are going on. Josh Brooks spoke today down there in Florida. Georgia AD, more to get to here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The game. OTA's going on around the National Football League. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. No Braves game tonight, as we mentioned with Grant. And as we've been talking about the Falcons, we had a few things we did want you to hear from Michael Penix Jr. And talking about a few things that we've discussed today in regards to the defense, Mike. And it's interesting because guys have been hitting us up. You can find us 404-726-0929. That is our text line. It is also our phone lines. And guys, find Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. It's on social media. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. I think the news today, one of the things is the Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs was not present for voluntary OTAs one day after that video showed him on social media, which he was on a boat. I'm on a boat! And he flashed an unidentified pink substance while surrounded by three women.
A pinkish substance.
Yeah.
In a Ziploc package.
Well, Dom said it. What was it called? What did you insinuate? What is it?
Pink cocaine.
Okay. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
A pink, well, again, Carl, I don't know what it's all about.
I don't either.
These crazy mixed up kids. Got to watch out for that fentanyl. They're cutting everything with it, Carl.
I have no idea. But I didn't even know why everybody was in a tizzy about this,
right.
Mike. I saw the thing, and I was like, okay, whoop-de-doo, he's on a boat.
Yeah. But then I saw it when I watched, because the first thing I said, okay, he's got a nice kind of Whitman sampler of hotties with him along with Cardi B on the boat. But a little something of everybody. Double dip, mocha muffin, you got it all, baby. But the thing about you know, this is now the Patriots have to ask questions, and you know, Vrabel was asked about it at their presumed mini camp up in Massachusetts, and he's They're aware of it. The organization's aware of it. So the optics on it are funky because, again, it, to Dom's point, it does look something specific, doesn't it?
It does.
And just to let you know, pink cocaine is a mix of ketamine, methamphetamine, cocaine, and fentanyl.
Ooh.
It's a mix of all of them. Jeez, just kind of mixed together.
Stay away, Ray, kids.
You kids, man.
Stay away.
Now, I mean, I like the first part. What was the old Adam Sandberg? You're at Kinko's making copies. I'm on a boat wearing flippy floppies.
I'm on a boat. Hey, so that story only because Mike Vrabel has said, yes, we're aware. He wants his guys making good decisions on and off the field. Diggs just signed a deal. He just signed with the Patriots, 3 years, $69 million. So anyways, that's out there. But let's talk about our Falcons for a minute, Mike, because when it comes to specifically Michael Penix, how long is it going to take for him to gel with the guys? Look, he looked great at the end of the season, not having all those reps. Still putting the ball in catchable places. Some hit guys in the chest and they dropped it. Others, they were right on point. But is this going to take a while for him to gel with these guys?
I mean, like, I still think there'd be some interceptions on the horizon when you've only played three NFL games. So, I mean, that's the reality. You know, the Giants game was tough. It wasn't his fault that Kyle Pitts goes, bleh, patty cake with it and hot potato. You got that pick. But in the Washington game, we saw him throw. Now, we still don't know if somebody was supposed to be where the ball went, and that was either Penix made a bad throw or a bad read. Either way, he throws a pick on the first series, comes right back, takes him down the field. End of the game, we already talked about it with Brian McFadden. He did that in his conversation with him on their little podcast video where he looks off the linebacker with his eyes, very veteran-savvy move, and then he hits Kyle Pitts with that laser in traffic in the red zone. So we've seen him do some things, you know, that look great. We talked about how good he looked in the red zone against Carolina. We lost that game because of our bad defense. But still, Carl, only three games under his belt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So he was asked about that because he's getting all the reps, obviously. And it is OTAs, but we're working towards, you know, minicamp, mandatory minicamp. That will be important. And then we get done with this run of OTAs, guys. It's going to be a break before we start training camp. Here's Penix talking about that timing and how long it's going to take.
It take time. It don't come overnight. You know, it take time. It take a lot of play time. You know, you gotta be in the game to, you know, learn a lot of things and obviously film study, off the field stuff. You know, all that stuff take time, but you know, it grows, you know, you get out of it what you put into it.
I agree with that. Which is why I always want my guys there. It's why I always want them there to get the reps.
Right.
You can tell me reps don't matter, they do. Especially when now we have a new quarterback, Mike, and we got new guys that are catching the ball. So Penix said it's going to take time. I agree. Meanwhile, he was also very thankful. We talked about Matt Ryan earlier today and his relationship with Michael Penix, and Penix was asked this as well at OTAs because we now know they talk. And look, Matt Ryan's willing to help him in any way that he possibly can, and I love it. So Michael Penix, how thankful are you for that?
His willingness to be open with me, you know, I feel like, you know, he didn't have to give his time to me to you know, talk to me and pour game into me. So just him being open and being present in the conversation, it was definitely a blessing.
I love it. You know, I just think it's so cool. You know, as we said, you know, an extra quarterback who's been there in those battles, 15 years experience in the league, can walk you through some of the scenarios and things you're gonna have to deal with. That's great. And you know, Matt's willing to do it. Because that's the kind of guy that he is. Mm. And, you know, just another a tremendous resource for Michael to have. And it's kind of cool because Penix was talking to Mike Vick, remember down there when they had the golf tournament?
Yes.
That indoor golf that Arthur's team down in West Palm Beach. So, yeah, any resource you can use. And Matt's a great guy to talk to.
I agree. Last but not least, guys, if I asked you right now this may change with the rookie class that we just drafted and it may be guys emerging from what we've already got here, but it hasn't happened yet. But if I was to ask you right now, who's the face of this Falcons defense? Jesse Bates.
It's going to be Jalen Walker.
Okay.
Right now it would be Jesse Bates. I mean, would have been Grady. Grady's gone. So, yeah. But I think Jalen, that's why I think the coach has given him all these reps as the number one dude.
Here's Raheem Morris on JB3. That's Jesse Bates. And his leadership and becoming that face.
I mean, I just should say Jesse is going into his third year. As an Atlanta Falcon. And Jesse is, from day one since he's gotten here, from what I heard at least, has been a leader to a standpoint. Then last year, he took an even bigger step and a bigger role in that leadership category, along with a guy like AJ. And those guys in the back end have already kind of started. You guys kind of joke around with those guys a lot about the crash out crew and how they play. And all that's really saying essentially is the style of play they want to play in the back end. And to watch him now, to be able to talk to those guys in the front end or even at the linebacker level on all three levels, to talk about the style of play, how we want to play, You'll hear Brick said a bunch about the heart, mind, fist that they want to play with and the things that they want to do. To watch those guys go do those things is what Jesse's kind of put himself in position to be able to do. Now, his communication with his coordinators, communication with his head coach, his communication with the guys are the biggest part for us. You know, communication at all levels, he definitely exemplifies that for us.
How do you become a leader? You got to make plays. Jesse's a playmaker. You can be a vocal guy. That's fine. But, Mike, if you're making plays and you're doing things that win games, which is what Jesse has done, and you're a vocal guy, that's how you become a leader.
Right.
And look, I think Jesse Bates respected the guys that were here, whether it was Grady and, you know, the other guys that had been in this organization. But Grady was the longest tenured guy, and you allow them to do what they do. But I think you need leaders at every level, right? I mean, like, Jesse's not in the quarterback room. He's not in the running back's room. Like, you need leaders at every level. And then there are guys that just get the team motivated, and I don't know if he's that guy, but I'm with Raw. Like, year three, he's been our biggest playmaker.
He's the dude. I mean, we won four games. It's like, right at the top of my head, I think four games you won from Jesse Bates 3 years, the year before that. And he's a guy that Xavier Watson, we talked to the rookie from Notre Dame, said he was so excited to get the chance to play with him because that's the guy he models his game after. And he's also a leader at Notre Dame. And he was a guy that was a defensive player of the game in the Sugar Bowl victory over Georgia. So Jesse is all those things and more. I think you're going to see Jalen Walker be that guy. I think Jalen Walker, they've got Jalen Walker listed as the number one. Now, again, we've got a bunch of linebackers in a 3-4, but he is a guy that's listed on the depth chart as a number one. And I love that. And I think it's not like, you know, it's not like it's being handed to them. He warrants it because he's the same thing we talked about with Jesse, Carl, what he does and what he brings from Georgia. He's that dude.
He is that dude. And I hope, by the way, I hope we get to a point where it's like, man, this is an argument. Like, we got so many guys
that's
that
a good
are just
problem to have.
Balling that you get. This becomes one of those things where, oh, I think he is the guy. That we hadn't had that. So I would love to say if we get to that point where multiple guys are contributing to that degree, Mike, then we can have that conversation. But that hasn't been the case here. But Jesse Bates is special. There's no debating that. OTAs, guys, with the Falcons, wrapping up. And look, we said this. The guys that were not there, and if you missed it earlier, we mentioned this. Pitts was there yesterday in the building. Just wasn't on the field. Apparently he was dealing with some kind of foot thing that's been going on. I don't think it's serious, but it's voluntary, and they're not going to risk him right now. Right. They don't have to.
I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about it yesterday because, you know, my initial reaction is to pounce and say, why are you not there? Because this is, you know, this is your year, man. It's a contract year, whether you stay with the Falcons or not. But, yeah, if he's got a medical excuse and there's no story there and nothing to complain about and hope that, you know, he gets extra work in later in their future OTAs.
All right. 404-726-0929. We are going to 6:30 tonight, by the way. Atlanta United taking on Orlando. Do you have any vibe on that, by the way?
Guy just hit me up going, we win this one, we're back, right? Well, I mean, it would be a two-game win streak. Ronnie Dyla, you know, we really liked our interview with him back in, I think, February. We're talking about the vision. And I went to that first game of the year against Montreal, and it was amazing. And then we've been horrible ever since and tough to watch. Miggy hasn't worked, but maybe they're starting to figure it out. Maybe it took 2 months. I don't know. But OC is really good, you know. And Mike Conti and Jason will have the call for you tonight.
Orlando, yeah.
But, man, if they can beat those dudes, that would maybe feel that the ship is turning.
7:30 kick, 6:30 pregame, so we're on until then. Coming up, by the way, in less than 15 minutes, we are going to get to Yeah Man, No Man. We pushed it back today because we had a great conversation, which is online, and we invite you to go check it out, odyssey.com, with Mike Griffith, talking about all these potential changes that are being discussed at SEC League meetings.
Right. Everything from, you know, who would ever be that commissioner of football, that's just more for the media, but in that room itself, hard decisions about those 8 or 9 games. Man, just get to 9 games. I mean, it's funny because Mike Griffith said, I said, you and I were talking off the air, will Georgia ever have or anybody else for that matter in the SEC, have an undefeated perfect season, knowing that your grind of the schedule, the playoffs you're going to have to run through. But Mike said, don't count out Georgia. Just hard to see Kirby doing that without the depth that he had in 21 and 22.
Anybody in the SEC. I mean, look, you got to first handle the schedule. And even if you get through the SEC now, Mike, it's not like you win one game and it's over. You got to handle the college football playoff now. I just think it's going to be more difficult. And the crazy thing is, you don't need to be undefeated to win it all. But if you are, I think you're going to be in a special category with the new age of where we're at and where we're at in college football.
Because remember, I mean, Ohio State hadn't beat Michigan in 3 years. Didn't beat their arch rival, won the Natty. But, you know, it is the difference. Michigan, Ohio State, both years, they paid those upperclassmen to stick around. That's how their collective works. Can Georgia find those superstars in the, on both sides of the ball that they had in 21 and 22?
All right, when we come back, Josh Brooks did speak today. The AD will tell you what he said, because everybody's talking about playing at least one game out of conference, specifically with the Big Ten. And do you trust Gunner? It's Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell, and now sunny afternoon here in Paradise. Hey, man, Friday we're going to be at Twin Peaks up in Kennesaw. I have not been out there in a minute, so join the party, pal. We'll be out there 2 to 6 up there on Barrett Parkway. Look forward to seeing you guys. If you just get in your car, the news today, the Braves get rained out. Game will be made up tomorrow. It'll be not a double. They don't do double headers anymore. Just be two games. But two separate crowds, Carl, come in and out up there in Philadelphia, and the Braves will make up for today. And I don't know, take a mental health break, catch the museum,
yeah,
grab a cheesesteak, which is very overrated and tastes like hot garbage while you're up there. But do something to get your mind off your lack of clutch hitting if you're the Braves.
Well, maybe it's a movie night. Let's all go see Mission Impossible. How's
that? By
the
way, real quick, for guys who missed it yesterday, I have not seen it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe tomorrow. But you loved it, right?
I did. Look, you got to put this in perspective. And I don't know, like, I'm going to see an action movie. It's plenty of action. It's 2:45 or whatever it is, Mike. It didn't feel that way.
I'm the guy to complain about them. I get my money's worth, yeah, man. It's a good movie. A good movie can be three hours.
It keeps moving. And I love the fact that they tied in a lot of the stuff. If you're a Mission Impossible fan and you've watched this series with Tom Cruise, these movies over the years, it ties in a lot of stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Don't get so caught up in, oh, that doesn't make sense, because you're not going to enjoy it. Just sit back and enjoy it. And I thought it was really good. And I said to a friend of mine, look, it's hard to rank these because every time he's tried to outdo himself, Mike, with the stunts and all the things. But I thought it was the best one. I honestly did. To tie it up, there's an emotional pull to this.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, okay. So I thought it was really good.
I read Peter Travers' review. That's one of the guys I go to from Rolling Stone. And
sure.
He said, you know, if you've been a fan, even if you're not, you know, and if you have a brain, you know, my word's not his, you should be able to figure it out. But they tie up a lot of the different characters that have appeared in the series. That looks, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, this week that's on the to-do list.
Yeah, maybe the Braves go do that. Because this is what happens, by the way. And it's not all the time. But sometimes in these situations where you get an unexpected off day and you're like, all right, guys either do two things. They sit around the hotel or they go do something.
Hit the track.
There's an activity. And guys will say, hey, you coming. And next thing you know, you might have half the team, Mike. You never know. And then, you know, you have these moments where you connect. Those things happen a lot, especially in baseball, because you're on the road half the year. It's 162 games, guys, and I've traveled to these ballparks and rainouts and all this stuff. It's weird how guys connect, and sometimes you need, like you said, you need that mental health break. Show up at the park tomorrow, it's like, man, you're not thinking about all the stuff that's been going on. You're talking about other things, and all of a sudden now you start hitting. It's weird how this stuff works.
What about a slump buster?
Okay, that could work too.
Now, for those of you kids out there in the car, earmuffs, sometimes for guys that are single only, not married guys, because, of course, that would be wrong. But, you know, maybe you find somebody friendly to take your mind off your struggles on the ballpark. Happens in all sports.
You know what? There are people who listen right now. They're like, really? That goes on?
Yes, believe it or not. Some baseball players have sex with people they're not married. Da, 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 da. This just in, water's wet.
This is true. That is true. 404-726-0929. Whatever they do, man, I hope that we can start scoring some runs. Last night was just frustrating. And again, give Suarez credit. He was really good.
He was
last
dealing.
Night.
I mean, that's the thing. I know you're frustrated. We talked to Grant, and Grant says patience, Grasshopper, that apparently Rome will not be built in a day, nor will Strider's comeback.
No, three starts, 0-3, not all his fault. Again, run support. And that was Charlie's issue. I mean, it's kind of been Charlie's working his ERA down, and he's looking like Charlie Morton. Chris Sale. But the problem with Strider is he's 0-3, and he's not gotten run support in two of these. But last night, it's one of those things where guys are like, it doesn't matter how good or bad Strider was, we didn't score enough runs. Well, that's part of this equation. The other part is, even if you just look at his performance by itself, you don't feel like, and Grant owned this. I love the fact that Grant said, look, there were some things last night that I was a little concerned with. You got to own the fact that he is not the Spencer Strider that he was prior to the injury. And maybe it's going to take another month. I'm okay. Right. But let's not act as if, well, man, Strider was great. 4 2/3, and he was like, eh, I mean, 90 pitches? He wasn't.
Well, that's the problem. You know, the pitch count started jumping up. Because, look, guys, major league hitters can foul off that 95, 96 all day till they get what they want. You know, I know it's crazy, but the difference, getting up that 99 to 100, and again, he was barely getting a 95. And then the slider, that's the other thing. He's going to have to rely on going deeper into his repertoire. And the slider, he didn't know where it was going. Now, luckily for him, early in the first at-bats, the Phillies didn't know where it was going either. They were swinging and missing.
Yeah.
But then he just couldn't control it. So, and again, beating Harper, that's just a mistake. Who's a guy who's struggling? And if Philly wants to make that into a federal case, knock yourself out.
Let me ask you this, by the way. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. We pushed it back today. So our man Dom will have that because we had a great guest on earlier, again, with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. And I do want to mention what Josh Brooks said. Mark DeRosa, you know who he is, right?
Right. Love, good guy, man. See him on MLB Network all the time.
Okay. He said, Acuña is the most talented player to ever put on a Braves uniform.
Over Hank Aaron?
And I love...
That's a bold statement.
Well, it is. I don't believe that, and I love Acuña. But Chipper Jones also responded and said, listen, there's a difference between most talented and best player.
Right.
I'm with him. Acuña is the most talented player we've ever seen in this uniform. The best player is Aaron. Right? It's Henry Aaron.
No, it's Henry. And look, there was a time where we thought that this, you know, when he came up, that Acuña would be the center fielder. You know, the best player is generally the guy that's, you know, in center, generally making all those plays. He's no longer that guy because of the injuries. So, look, I mean, we can always – I hope we're not having that discussion where all of a sudden, you know, it becomes where Acuña is now Mike Trout. And that's the last thing you want to see, where he gets rolling and he gets back on track.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, the idea of, you know, I mean, stealing 25 bases, let alone 70, which, you know, which was so – I mean, I got to be honest. It was so soft and slow rolled by national media. I mean, I know Ohtani is a force of nature, and he is the news, and I get that. But, I mean, that season was one for the ages, the 40 home runs and the 70 stolen bases and the MVP for Ronald. But you just, you know, you wonder, is it, you can't, I don't think Braves fans should ever expect anything remotely close to that, but we'll see where he goes. It's, yeah. But you're right. Henry Aaron, I mean, I think Chipper was, you know, one of those guys. I mean, certainly the pitchers. I know pitchers don't play every day, but, you know, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz could certainly be in that conversation, but Henry Aaron would be my guy.
It's Henry Aaron. Look, there's nobody that had a bigger influence on this Braves organization than Henry Aaron, and he was the best player. I mean, he is the home run king.
Right.
But
Look at the average, and look what high level he played at.
Oh,
especially
if you apply
all the nerd metrics to what he did back then, it'll blow your mind.
Year after year, Mike. And but Acuña is the most talented player. But I thought that was interesting from Mark DeRosa, who said that, and I was like, slow your roll. All right, real quick, Josh Brooks, Mike, speaking to the media down there for Dog fans. And by the way, this all kind of started. People are now asking, okay, we're going to 9-game schedule. They still haven't decided.
I wish they just would.
They haven't decided. But LSU coach Brian Kelly says that they discussed a regular season scheduling arrangement with the Big Ten, including a 9th SEC game. I think this is too much. So you'd have 9 SEC games plus a Big 12 game plus 2 others, or a Big 10, should I say. Bottom line is, and Kelly said this, is LSU's coach, we want to play the Big 10. Well, they've won the last 2 national titles. So he's saying, we're the big boys, they're the big boys, we should be scheduling games. Mike, I'm cool with that, but you don't need to add a 9th game if you're going to do that.
You know what? Yes, you do, because nowadays, you know, I need the regular schedule to have more meat and more, you know, more meaning, because the regular schedule has been, let's be honest, has been sort of left on the side of the road as they're just hurtling down towards a now 16-game playoff. So I would disagree and say, yeah, that gives me even more reason now for the networks to throw more money at these teams and these conferences, because these are the games you want to see. And an Ohio State-Georgia game in week one, you know, provided you make this your preseason game, so if you do lose it, it doesn't kill you in the playoffs. And again,
well, let's ask Texas at the end of the season, because they start with Ohio State this year.
And LSU's got Clemson. And Brian Kelly has yet to win his opening game as a Tiger head coach, by the way. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but when you talk about these SEC versus Big Ten, I mean, you – and I guess, I don't know, is this everybody in the conference playing at least one Big Ten team?
Because if Georgia's open with Northwestern, let's all go to Chicago and kick their ass and have a great time. And hopefully the Braves are playing the Cubs again. But I mean, I still like this, and it's further example of how basically the Big Ten and the SEC are in cahoots, and the two commissioners, it's basically their sandlot, it's their ballpark, and everyone's just playing in it.
So Josh Brooks did say that Georgia's open to scheduling a Big Ten team in the regular season. In the right scenario.
Right, right.
See, this is where you don't get ahead of your skis, right? He's like, yeah, of course we're willing to play.
But we got to make sure that it's the right scenario. What he's telling you there is, okay, I got to make sure that I'm not putting my guys in a situation where we're playing Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and then we're going to go play a Big Ten team. Like, it's all about scheduling. And right. I understand what he's saying. Either way, the nine-game thing hasn't happened. But I thought that was interesting. And Kirby has said, too, he thinks you're going to see more of these games. They played Clemson last year.
Right.
Kirby thinks Clemson, the Clemson game, helped the SEC.
Yes.
Last
but I mean,
year.
I look, I just want to see the best games. I don't want to see the smaller schools getting their butts whipped. You know, for every once Georgia State goes up and beats a Tennessee, there's, you know, just a thousand zillion beat downs. So I want to see, especially, and this goes back to if you're a season ticket holder and a booster, if you're a Georgia fan or Georgia Tech, you want to see the best possible schedule. You know, with all due respect to Middle Tennessee, I don't want to see that. I mean, like, Florida State may get their butts whipped by Alabama, but at least I'm excited to go to that first game. We'll see where it goes. I do love the big, big Labor Day weekend monster games. So I hope they do that, because as long as the College Football Playoff Committee values strength of schedule, and last year they really didn't, some of those have some. It's kind of a moving target. That's the variable that you're worried about, that, you know, that maybe the ADs are worried about. But I want to see the best games on Sunday or Saturday, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Josh Brooks, we'd do it, but we'd have to take a look at what the rest of the schedule would look like. Josh Brooks also saying we do have Florida State and Louisville and other teams lined up discussing future home and home series with the Bulldogs schedule. So bottom line, guys, scheduling and how this is going to look down the road, a big part of the conversation. But as our guest Mike Griffith said, Josh wasn't going to go out and say, you know what, this is what we need to do, because he is a part of some of these committees, and he's got to be careful as to how he approaches this, but also what's in the best interest of Georgia. And that's the thing, Mike. I mean, ultimately, if it is going to benefit Georgia and you think it's going to help them get into the playoff, does Georgia need a ninth game to get into the playoff? Do they need to play a Big Ten team to get into the playoff? I don't know. As a fan, you're right. I want to see more action. I don't know if you need that. All right.
Right on. I don't know. I want to see this happen because, you know, out of necessity, the Big 12 had to go to basically play everybody they in their conference.
Yeah.
But as they, you know, lost some teams and they added more. I just think as a fan, you're heading out to Athens. Every weekend matters. And there's some, I just think, especially now, that you don't get punished for these losses based on, a, you know, this, you will be in the playoffs. You might not be a number one seed or a four seed, but you're still going to make the postseason.
All right, guys, coming up, yeah, man, no man's on the way. We'll give you our final thoughts as well. Tonight it is T-Wolves at Thunder. Mike, is it done, by the way? Is that done?
I think that one is kaput.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, is Ant-Man going to nut up? Is Julius Randle? Now, Julius Randle.
Is he got to go for 50? What are
we
talking about?
I mean, we'll take more than 13 shots and then he'll cry about playing in the system.
Yeah, that I mean, part, you know, is true.
Go look at some interviews and go look at some tape of Kobe Bryant before you play in today's game. Right? Coach always come up with this crazy harebrained motivational crap.
He should.
Showing boxing matches. Okay, if that works. Go watch some highlights of Kobe Bean Bryant, Ant-Man, and channel that. Because SCGA's got that genes.
He does. They are up Thunder 3-1. All right, we're coming back. Yeah, man, no man. Next. It is Dukes and Bell. We're here till 6:30 tonight. We got Atlanta United taking on Orlando. Pregame, 6:30. And then at 7:30, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will have the call for you. Let's try to make it two in a row. We pushed back Yeah Man, No Man today. So we got to get to it. Dom has been doing all the things today. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
Caught me off guard there because I thought I had the music up.
No!
But it's all good.
Oh, no, that's a technical foul, Carl.
All
that
good.
Is,
all
that
good,
is two good. Shots and the ball.
Almost had the perfect show.
Talk
but
to us, baby.
It's all good. We'll go ahead and get into it. We don't have
He had the no-hitter going.
He did.
We went an extra half hour tonight because Ronnie Dyla and your United taking out Orlando City over Mercedes-Benz. Why am I talking like this? Hopefully can make it a two-win streak, but now it's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Yes. So earlier today, obviously, we talked about movies. I gave you guys a movie last time for Yeah Man, No Man. So obviously, I'm very big on movies. I'm a huge movie theater guy. However, I've learned something recently that people do that I didn't really know was a thing, and I want to get you all's opinion on it. Yeah Man, No Man, going to the movies just for the popcorn is a good idea.
Going to the movies just for the popcorn?
There are people that go to the theater.
Yeah, it's real.
Don't buy a ticket. Get them some popcorn.
Really?
And leave.
I mean, the hot buttered popcorn, I mean, can't you simulate that at your house by melting butter and pouring it on the popcorn?
It's a little different when you get it at the theater.
I don't know why, but it is, to your point. And, right. And here's what's funny. Every time we go, my wife's like, you're going to get the big one? I'm like, yes. I never get it refilled, even though they tell you can refill it. But by the end of the movie, it's gone, right? And I don't immediately like just start munching on it as soon as I get it. And to Mike's point, I do like the hot butter and all that. Mike, there's so many different
you know, microwavable popcorns now with you know, kettle corn and extra butter and all this stuff. But it's not like it's not the same. I agree with Dom on this.
I love movie popcorn. I tell the girl to double bag the popcorn because I'm going to get over there to the self. They have the self butter dispenser.
Yeah, and I'm going to add.
Oh yeah. I mean, 18 napkins. I'm down there. Just
But I'm also going to go to the show.
No, yeah, but to me, it's my things are I get a popcorn with enough butter to sink the Titanic and M&Ms. You know, but I got my sweet with my salty.
Sure.
But I'm going to go watch the movie because I can I can go do Orville Redenbacher and slather it with butter in my house. I've never heard that, going to the theater for, specifically for the popcorn.
Yeah, I have.
And, I say nomad.
Look, I got to go to the show. If I'm going to do that, that's what I look forward to because I don't do that all the time. So
Mission Impossible.
I had a big bucket. And I was cool with it. But, yeah, man, just to show up and be like, yeah, give me the biggest bucket of popcorn and I'm out of here. No, man, I can't get that. I can't get with that either.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I got to see the movie, too. All right, real quick, last one here. I want to talk to you all about a man named Delicious.
You know I can't call a man Delicious.
Well, that is actually his name. His name is Delicious Ore. He is of Russian descent, I believe, but fights out of Great Britain. Okay. He was a amateur boxer, actually fought in the Olympics a little bit, but he finally made it to the professionals, fought a professional bout and won, and then immediately retired afterwards.
Okay. Mm. Delicious. All right. I'm looking at him up. He's got a space between his teeth that maybe makes Michael Strahan look like he's got perfect crowns.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny, man. He's only 27.
Yes. He said, I hope that turning professional would reignite the passion, but the truth has become clear. It hasn't. Every fighter knows you need a deep love for the craft to reach the top, and without it, there's no path forward. Yeah, man, no man, retiring after your first fight.
Wow. He won, though,
boss
right?
Move. He did win.
I'm out.
Gold medalist in the European Games, super heavyweight.
Okay.
So, I mean, he had the chops at some point.
He did. Yeah.
I mean, show. I guess prove it to himself I can do this, and then he walked away.
Look, nobody. Okay. I shouldn't say nobody. There are a lot of people who like to get punched in the face. I don't necessarily like to get punched in the face. And as a boxer, that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, if you told me that I was going to have one professional fight, Mike, and I was going to win it, I'm done. I did that. I conquered it. I crushed it. I'm a champion. I'm good. I don't need to fight anymore. No, I'm not mad at this guy at all. Right. And if he didn't have the passion, guess what was going to happen? He was going to get knocked out.
Yeah. So, never lost.
By the way, Delicious. I mean, there's a million ways to go with this.
Man, I can't do
that. You know, smoking Ori, you know what I mean? Smoking Joe. I mean, I don't know, Pretty Boy, Sugar Ray. There's a lot of ways you can go in a fight game. Delicious.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like. And again, you know, in this corner, it doesn't sound like it's going anywhere.
No, it would be different if you grew up in like an apple farm. Golden Delicious Ori.
Okay.
And even then, you know, I'm stretching it right
there. Yeah, but I just have a problem. Like, that's my boy Delicious.
All right,
man, we got to get out of here. We need to clear our throat. Hey, thanks to Mike Griffith for stopping by. Tomorrow, we're talking NBA playoffs. What happens tonight? By the way, one team has come back from 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. It was Golden State who came back and beat OKC, which then prompted Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. We'll see what happens and tonight if this series is over. Right. All right, Mike, we got to clear the way, man. Tonight it's Orlando in town, Atlanta United. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
I did a rant. It's up there at Mike Bell ATL. Carl's been laughing all day about this. It's a whole culture of guys obsessed with meaningless stats. You know, I don't know if this is the intersection of competition trophies and analytics, but guys that tell me, oh, no, hard outs are important. So when is Major League Baseball going to give you exit velo says 4 hard outs equals a run? You don't get a run knocked in. It's an out. It's meaningless. I don't want to hear about exit velocity, you nerds.
I really didn't realize Julio only had 4 targets until he said it. And looking back, what?
Super Bowl 51.
Oh, all right, man. We're back at you guys tomorrow, 2 o'clock. If you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
you have an unsubstantial wins above replacement.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.